Grab a chip and a chair. It's time for the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Brought to you by the Best Bet Poker Rooms at Jacksonville and Orange Park. Now, the Best Bet Poker Show pals.
Happy Hump Day!
Hump Day!
Woohoo!
Hump Day!
Woohoo!
Love it.
You're going to have to throw in the boss man's yes since he's not around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great. You know, this is the thing that I love. So we are live here at Best Bet Jacksonville over in the Monument location. So 201 Monument Road. The 1010XL tournament is getting ready to kick off. And every time we're live, the boss never seems to make it to the show on time. He's literally 5 feet from the desk, but he just can't seem to get to where he belongs.
He's a popular man. It's hard for him.
That's why I guess his name is the boss,
right? That's right. Everybody wants a piece.
So as we're here, and I'm talking about the 1010 event getting ready to kick off, there is literally a line from the cage that is going all the way out the door. All the way out the front door.
This is
so
insane.
So there is probably 60 people standing in line.
I might be able to show the people watching.
Yeah, give them a little view. But it's literally the line is going all the way past the registration desk and out the door. So it's going to be a great tournament. The last time we had this event, 275 players. That was our record. I put the line, I think, last night when I talked with the ladies on Helmets and Heels. I put it at 296.
Last time we had 303.
Was it 303?
Or 304.
Oh, okay. So I lied about that. Well, then I said we were going to break the record, so I'm going to have to change my line. I thought it was 275. That must have been the time before. So if we got 303 last time, or 304, I think we will get...
320?
I was going to say 322.
Wow.
322. Well, right now, it looks like 109. I can't really see my eyes.
We're going to have to bag them up and bring them back tomorrow.
We might just have to do that. That would be fun, actually.
Yeah,
that's never happened, I don't think.
A two-day 1010XL.
And that would have to happen because you guys close, right? So what time? Tournament starts at 6, and if they're not over and finished playing by 4?
Yeah, 4 a.m.
4 a.m., got to bag
the doors. We got to lock the doors at 4 a.m.
And then, okay, so let's just say hypothetically, Dustin, that happens, right? Which I don't anticipate that it will, but let's just say that it did. What time would you guys restart, you think?
I think the general rule, if that happens, is we bring it back at 3 p.m. the next day. But, you know, people have work schedules and stuff like that. We would probably do whatever we needed to do to accommodate the final table or however many people were left.
Nice. Johnny just walked by. Johnny Fantastic just walked by, gave me my bounty sticker and my tournament registration seat card. So it looks like I am table 9, seat 2.
Juicy.
And the boss man joins us.
What's up, people? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm glad
you're here. All of a sudden, I was standing there, and I'm thinking, hey, am I supposed to be on a radio show or something right now?
You are. That's what we were saying. The boss man, anytime we're here, that you're always late to the game. All right, so there's still plenty of time to register for the 1010XL main event. There are 5 bounties in this tournament. We have Donna Murphy, Jeff Prosser, Matt Hayes, James Coleman, and yours truly. Knock any of us out, you get $110 on the spot. James is not playing? Okay. Maybe we have 4 bounties. So we find a 5th player.
Denny Thompson is in.
Oh, Denny Thompson's playing. Excuse me. That's right. I forgot about that change. So Denny Thompson will be here playing. 5 bounties. Not going to give us out. $110 back on the spot. If you can't get here right now, that is okay because registration is open until?
8:10.
8:10.
Actually, we're going to start about 5 minutes late. We had a little computer glitch. And so there's kind of a big line.
That's what we were just saying. The line is out, literally out the door.
And not only is there a big line, there is a massive amount of people already registered.
Yeah, there's already over 100 players registered.
Right, with 50 in line. So we'll take the over at anyone?
I said 322.
That is a very good line. I will still actually say it'll go slightly over that based on what we have right now.
I'm a sharpshooter. I used to set the lines in Vegas. That's kind of what
That's
I
a
do.
Good
it's
one.
My thing.
I can't bet against Jesse. I'm dead money when it comes to betting against Jesse in these spots. I learned my lesson.
Yep.
So, you guys, there's all sorts of – I was pulling up some news articles in the poker world because, you know, those are always my favorite things to visit. And we talked a little bit last week about the WSOP announced their new series for the fall. It will be in September. They had announced that they were moving it to the fall, but they didn't talk about what they were doing. So the 2021 World Series of Poker officially has been announced for September 30th through November 23rd. there will be a $25,000 horse event and a $5 million guaranteed no limit hold'em event billed as the reunion.
The reunion.
The reunion.
How much is the reunion entry fee?
It doesn't say. They also haven't announced released the entire schedule yet. So that's kind of par for the course, right? For WSOP, they do that anyway. They were doing that pre-pandemic.
Sure.
They release a little bit at a time, give you a little teaser. They announce the dates, and then they talk about the new tournaments that you should expect to see, and then they kind of backfill and tell you what's going to happen and what to expect.
I will say, as somebody that creates a lot of tournaments myself, tournament series, there's a couple reasons for that. One, it's fun to just create a little tease. And two, they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They're still putting it together.
Absolutely.
Which is cool, which is fine. And I'm glad we got a little tease and we got a little information. And obviously, I'm already trying to figure out how I can get in that 25K horse tournament.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of World Series of Poker, you know that back in 2019, Tony Miles, 2019, I believe.
2018.
2018, 18. Yeah. Tony Miles was the runner-up who took second place in the $10,000 WSOP main event. We were all there to sweat that. What a great time that was.
Amazing.
And he decided he was going to jump in to take a shot at American Ninja Warrior. And he did that in 2019.
Right.
He has now tweeted that he will be back again. So if you recall, he made a bet with Sean Deeb,
right,
that he had 3 years to not only get on the show, but had to complete the course. He got 25-1, I believe is what it was, 25-1. He bet $5,000. It was a sliding field. So 25-1 for the first year, 20-1 for the second year, which was negated due to COVID, and then 15-1 for the third year. So this is his third and final chance to get on the show and complete the course, and he stands to pick up $75,000 from Sean Deeb if he happens to make it. Now, in this picture that Tony tweeted out, he is an absolute beast. I mean, he is gigantic.
Yeah, he's a fit dude.
Look at him. He's always been fit, but
yeah,
this picture of him, he is...
Wow.
Gigantic. I mean, and it's funny if you look at him here versus the picture of him sitting at the table.
Yeah.
He's always been really fit, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He's just, I mean, he's hulking out of his shirt.
You know, nothing against you, Sean Deeb, but I'm actually rooting for Tony here.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, you got to root for the guy to make the goal.
So not only is he jacked like that, like Hulk mode, but he's nimble too. I follow him on Instagram, and he's constantly posting in his stories, like swinging from all of this stuff, all of the training that you go through
like
for those events.
It's like upper body, right?
He's just swinging and jumping and hopping and climbing, and
yeah,
it's
you
nuts.
Need massive forearm strength because everything you do on those ninja courses is grabbing and holding on and pulling up.
Sure.
So
yeah, that's fair.
Lots of pull-ups.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because I have absolutely no idea what it takes to get on that show other than just auditioning, showing up and like running through some sort of probably a miniature course. And then they say, okay, maybe you could make it through. But is there other stuff, right? It can't just be about strength. It's got to be about what you bring to the table.
I think a lot of it is a backstory also.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Backstory's key.
Tony's got a cool backstory, you know, the whole history of through playing poker, then winning the World Series and. You know, actually,
and he has a bet riding on
he's got
this.
The
I
side
feel like
action.
That's right. Yeah,
side,
a little
side
action.
The gambling aspect always gives us in this industry a little bit extra cool backstory because most people don't just gamble on stuff like that. And yes, sure, I'll bet 5,000. All right, I'll give you 10-1, 20, whatever it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a cool backstory.
What do you know what you win if you win American Ninja? It's like 10,000 or something?
It's like 50, I think.
50,000?
It's cold,
50.
Hard cash,
yeah.
But I think there's only been a handful of people that have made it through because it's like a multi-step thing.
Right.
It's like a pyramid thing. So I think there's only been like five that have made it through the whole
Every
series.
Every stage.
Right.
And one of them was the naked man who was streaking. Do you remember that?
No.
That's like that is one of my favorite things. So it's...
I don't know about this.
The Vegas course, I'm going to find it when we're on break and you can post it on the stream.
I can't wait to post a naked man on the stream.
So it's great because they have him like blurred out or whatever, but
he's
like, they show somebody getting ready to go and it's in Vegas, right? It's being filmed in Vegas, this particular run. And the guy, just all of a sudden you see this guy and he just comes trucking out. He's got kind of like long hair. He's totally naked. He comes running out and he jumps and does one of those like heel kicks and then like just... annihilates the course.
Wow.
Totally. Holy like, makes it all the way through as if it was, like, the easiest thing in the world.
No way.
It is fantastic. Now, I will tell you a little spoiler because the first time I watched this, I was like, there's just no way.
Right.
I was like, this can't be.
Sure.
And it turns out that it was actually set up. And he is somebody that actually completed the course. And he came back and ran through it. he was not naked. He did have, like, flesh-toned shorts on.
Yeah.
But you couldn't tell because of the lighting. It just looked like the guy is
that's fantastic.
Streaking through the show. So it's really spectacular.
So he's mostly naked.
Yeah, I'll find it and make sure that you can post it. But it's a lot of fun. So anyway, if you want to sweat Tony Miles, the time to do that is going to be May 31st is when it airs.
So do they blur it out for effect because he's really not naked, but they blur it out to make it look like he is naked?
I mean, I think so, yeah. Because I think that, you know, they right? didn't. They didn't disclose the fact that they had set that up.
Right.
But I think a lot of people started asking questions, and to make sure that people weren't doing it later, you know, they let people know that it was, in fact, set up by the network.
So you can't really just show up naked and compete.
Yeah, because and here's the other thing. Like, how do you get on the set? I mean, I feel like you would be noticed. A naked yeah. man just rolling on the set is probably not going to go unnoticed.
He's wearing a little Superman cape and then just drops the cape. And
yeah, perhaps. Maybe that's exactly what happened. All right, so did you guys see the basketball legend Paul Pierce loses his ESPN job after posting a raunchy video from his home poker game?
I did.
Did you
I
see
saw
that?
I didn't read the whole I didn't read or see the picture.
Well, here's what I thought was interesting. So you know
it
who
wasn't
Paul Pierce
that
is?
Raunchy.
It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't
I didn't think
bad.
It was that bad.
It's exactly what you would expect from a high-stakes home game in L.A.
I mean,
probably
kind of.
Even probably a little tamer.
Was there a girl in the background?
Yeah,
yes.
And a girl giving him a massage. I
yes.
did see it.
Yeah. Yes, yes. So, Pierce was named the finalist just last month to be in the Basketball Hall of Fame. He played 19 seasons in the NBA, retired number 34 of the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics. Easy for me to say. And so he posts these videos, and it is basically, the video's not that bad, but what they say is he's smoking what appears to be marijuana, he's being entertained by scantily clad women, and
truth.
He didn't show any actual footage of him playing poker, but you can see the poker table in the background, and he's sitting at a table with other people. But here's what I think is interesting. They talk about if he hadn't have posted the video and somebody else would have posted it, he probably wouldn't have lost his job.
Unfair.
But he posted it as his content, therefore his job became at jeopardy. Here's what else I think is interesting. If you don't actually see him playing poker, and marijuana is recreationally legal in California, what exactly is it that he's doing that's not legal? Like, what's he doing that's bad?
He's not doing anything that's illegal. Nothing he's doing there is
it's just
illegal.
The representation for
it's
ESPN.
Depending on where you work, you represent your company all the time. So he's a representative of ESPN, and they don't want that kind of representation.
Yeah.
That's all. So it's not like you can say, well, somebody else wouldn't get fired. That's true.
Yeah.
It depends on what their job is. I mean, if the guy's the you know, the foreman on a construction site, everybody's just going to say, hey, that's funny.
Well, he's a rotating host on ESPN's NBA Countdown and The Jump. So I don't know. I thought that was kind of an interesting spot. I also thought it was interesting that had he not have posted the video, it would be a moot point.
Unless somebody else posted it who has a high-profile position in a company where they're not going to want that representation, be the same thing.
Yeah.
I got Paul Pierce's back. I've always liked Paul Pierce. Who cares?
Yeah. No, I'm not saying anything.
Let it go.
Yeah. I don't care.
What's the difference in him having some marijuana and drinking a Heineken? You know, what's the difference?
Yeah.
Nothing.
I mean,
and he did, like I said, there's nothing he did is illegal or wrong or anything.
Yeah. I guess the representation was frowned upon quite a bit.
Maybe it was a culmination of all of the things all in the same photo. Maybe if it was one
four different photos over like a month period, it would be okay. But all in one?
Yeah.
Well, here's
little,
the thing.
Like, this guy's off the rails.
Little much.
he was under backlash because he was like live streaming, I guess. He was doing like a live stream type thing while he was there. And the women were hanging on him. They were all clothed. Everybody was dressed. There was no nudity or anything. But everybody was commenting. They were like, how does your wife feel about this? How does your wife feel about this? So I wondered If it had something to do specifically with that piece.
Yeah, maybe.
You know?
Maybe the station got a phone call.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
Who knows? Who knows?
But anyway, so that's kind of fun. And Mike Possel, the case is finally closed. Signed, sealed, delivered, finished. Mike Possel dropped the $330 million defamation suit that he had filed last October against all the different poker players, right. Veronica Brill, Daniel Negreanu, you know, Jonathan Little. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Joey Ingram. And he finally has dropped the suit. He said, that's it. I'm done. A couple days ago. Withdraw it. Take it off. No more. So I don't think we will hear any more about the Postal case. No suing. No money exchanging hands.
So basically,
everybody
his lawyer told him, you're going to have to start paying me. And he said, I can't.
That's right. Effectively what happened. They were like, his first lawyers dropped him and the case. And that's probably because he couldn't pay. And then he probably just backed out and said, I can't do this anymore because I'm not going to pay people for it. So that's what we're looking at with the Mike Postal situation. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we got lots of things to talk about. We are going to talk about loose passive players. What does that look like? What does it mean? How to combat them? The best way to play against them? And, of course, we have a couple of hands to support that type of play so that you guys can understand what that looks like. Again, we are live over here at Best Bet Jacksonville. The 1010XL main event is underway. We have 140 players registered. There's a line still continuing to grow and go out the door. We put the line at 322 players. Hopefully, we crush that number. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDeal here with Jesse the Boss and Dustin the Great. We are over here live at Best Bet Jacksonville, 201 Monument Road. The 1010XL main event has just kicked off. We are in level number one. We started at 100 and 100 of the blinds. What's the structure, boss man? How many chips we get? 15,000?
12,000.
12,000. 12,000 in chips, 20-minute levels. Registration is open until about 8:10. There are 140-plus players registered, plus there is a line still pretty long. We're putting the over-under line at about 322 players, which should make first place somewhere
over.
Around 5,000, right?
I think so.
So if you're looking to play a nice, easy tournament with five bounties.
A nice, easy, fun tournament with five bounties and a lot of other people.
And a lot of people. Dustin just said, he said, boy, and remember, you can play, and if you bust, you can re-enter. Unlimited re-entries?
Unlimited re-entries until the end of the first break, which is just after 8. So
get in and play good because the line is long right now. So if you bust immediately, you're going to be back in line for a little while.
That is a good tip. If you're ever playing a re-entry tournament and you see a line, you want to
tighten up a little bit.
Maybe you fold that hand
and
tighten up a little bit.
Yeah. Make a couple tight folds.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to be like, well, if I just go bust here, I can re-enter because it's going to be a hot minute before you get back in.
Yeah. Might miss two levels.
Yeah. Speaking of which, so if we are, we're going to talk about, we decided, Dustin had a great idea for the show where we cover different play styles. You know, we'll cover one play style a week for a while until we get through all of them. So this week we're covering loose passive players, what that looks like.
LPPs.
Is that what it is? Loose passive player. Yeah. LAP.
LP squared.
LP squared. Lots of acronyms.
LP squared.
I think you could say LAP. A lap.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, Dustin, tell me your first, when you think about a loose passive player, the first thing that comes to your mind in terms of you know, marking them down, saying, this is where I categorize you.
So usually it's the players that like to limp a lot of hands. They don't take very much. They're not very aggressive preflop. They like to limp a lot of hands. They like to make a hand before they put a lot of money in the flop.
They
want to
see flops.
They came to play. And then after you and I talked about it, I started thinking, and I think this is where a lot of poker players like start their poker journey, you know, because you don't have a good understanding of fundamentals. It's just fun to put money in the pot and gamble. So a lot of beginning players, and some players never move past that point in their poker career. And those players are everywhere. But, yeah, they like to limp a lot. They,
they like to get through the hand as cheaply, I guess, as possible.
They do like to get through the hand cheaply.
You want to limp, flop a big hand, Get to the turn cheap, and then make a big hand. Trap somebody.
So when we talk about being a loose passive player, I think that's a really good point, is that, you know, most players, most amateur players, they start off in this particular area. Loose and passive, because they want to play. You know, they know the fundamentals of poker, but their strategic thought process and planning probably isn't high enough to really understand pot control in terms of how much to raise, bet sizing, and things like that. So they tend to be in a lot of hands and not raising a whole ton.
And also, it's just not fun to fold.
Right.
It's more fun to play. Yeah.
It's more fun. Definitely more fun to play. And by the way, I feel like you do a lot more of that playing cash than you do playing tournament.
Yes. The loose passive approach in tournaments will not get you very far.
It's tough to play that way because, you can't buy more chips. So once you're out of chips, you're out of the tournament, right?
You can actually play that way in cash games and have fun and come out ahead and make it work if you do it right. I would say that one of the biggest mistakes that the loose passive player tends to make is that type of player, I think, generally doesn't bluff very much. And if you are a loose passive player, but you also have lots of bluffs in your game, then it's not such a bad strategy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have the bluffs in your game, then you're just an easy player to play against. Very easy player to play against.
Yeah, that's fair. Mm-hmm. That's actually one of my bullet points, is that these guys, they just don't bluff. And so when they do aggress in a pot, you should just be clicking fold unless you're at the absolute top of your range. Because these guys, they just don't have any bluffs.
Right. You know that they're in there trying to make hands so that when they do become aggressive in the pot, they now have a hand.
Yep.
So, you know, they're at the top end of their range when they get aggressive. But here's something that I will ask you. So, you know, this is a problem that I think most people have when you're playing against a loose passive player, especially pre-flop, right? If they like to call, they don't raise a lot. They like to limp. They like to see flops. When you're raising, right, and you're trying to maybe play back a little bit, first of all, it's going to be difficult to identify what their range is because they're just coming in with any cards. So it's tough to pinpoint down what they might have. So now if you find that your loose passive player is playing loose even to a raise, it makes it much more difficult to understand where they're sitting and what the strength of their hand might be. So what are some tips or tricks that you utilize when we get to the point where we're playing post-flop poker and you have to sort of tighten up the range and what they might actually have? Because now we're talking about in terms of, pre-flop, there's nothing else but their two cards. But when the board comes, now you have to really start looking at what, you know, what's the range that connects with the flop or doesn't connect with the flop.
There's kind of two sides to that coin. So the first being, you can really... The trick is to just be aggressive against them on every board because they're going to have so much junk a lot of times. A lot of times they'll just call and they'll just call any raise. If they like their hand preflop, they'll limp with it and then they'll call any amount. It doesn't matter. So you can really punish them preflop and take big sizes. But when you get to the flop, you can just blast them in position all day. And when they play back at you, you know they have a hand and you just shut it down. But their range is going to have so much junk in it that they're going to be folding a ton. So the trick is really punish them preflop, make them put in a lot of money preflop with their junk, and then have them fold it on the flop and then or on the turn. And then when they get sticky, you just shut it down because, you know, I don't care if I lose this one pot to you, I'm going to win the next six, you know, and I'm going to be in the black before the end of the session. The other side of that coin is one thing they do that's annoying is they will limp these monster hands that they should be raising because they don't have a good understanding of fundamentals.
Sure.
So an example of this would be like, they limp in front of you and you put in a big raise with a hand like ace, like king 10 suited, for example, is a good hand. And so then you flop a king, you know, they call all three streets, you get to the river and they turn over ace king.
Yeah.
And, you know, how did we get it?
How did we get here? Yeah. Where's the rest of the pot?
sometimes the pots get huge in that spot because you think you're ahead, but a lot of times you can just check back the river. But, you know, you think you're good and then they show up with these big hands that they should have. They played incorrectly on the flop or preflop.
Yeah, and it's true because in their range, you know, they're limping with the 4-5 of hearts. They're also limping with the ace king offsuit.
Not just that. I mean, 4-5 of hearts is actually like not the worst hand. They're limping way worse hand. They're limping, you know,
the 7-10s and
7-10s and jack 6s and stuff like that.
The other thing I'll say is, as we talk about, you know, it's very difficult to narrow somebody's range when they're a loose passive player. And when you get to post-flop play, the other thing that I feel like, you know, most of the time when people implement a check raise, you have a pretty strong idea as to where they are, right?
Sure.
Most people are not check raising with absolute air. I mean, some people do, but generally
it's
not
rare.
A loose passive.
It's rare at the like, low stakes.
Yeah. Most people don't do that because you're out of position, right? So it makes it more difficult to play the hand. But if you're involved in a hand with a loose passive player and you check raise them and they're calling, I think that's a strong indication that their hand is probably pretty big. That's the way that I feel about
that. It's going to be odd for them to call a check raise and still not have
and still
a made
not
hand.
Have
still be
a big
on a draw
hand.
Unless mm-hmm. it's a massive draw.
I agree with Jesse. I think sometimes they will have made hands that aren't super strong, you know? Like, you're never going to get a loose passive player to full top pair in a lot of spots. You know, like an understudied recreational loose passive
player. Or
bottom
two or something like
that. Yeah, like they're just never going to fold in those spots where you're supposed to. And that's kind of something that you and I talked about when you take these next level lines against these kind of players. They just don't work. And they just look you up with one pair and then, you know, your hand's no good and you have to put it in the muck.
Right, and you have to decide at that point if you implemented a check raise and you're on the turn and now you go to the river, you have to make your decision, okay,
right,
I'm going to get called.
Yep.
So is my hand, I have to bet for value.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't bet for value, then you have to check.
Yep.
Yeah.
You check, have give to, up.
Right. You have to know you're going to get called.
Yeah.
I think player. The other thing to also remember when you're playing against loose passive players, one way to combat it is to make sure that you understand that they are going to call you. Their call frequency is high.
Yep.
So making sure that you're not getting frisky with a marginal hand is going to be really important, because when you start doing that, where, you know, you might want to, like, for instance, in the hand that you're talking about, say you have king 10 and you flop a king, that's a terrible place to start getting out of line.
Yeah.
Especially against a loose passive player who's in position and they continue to call. They probably have something a bit stronger than you, so finding a check back on the river, as you mentioned, is a good option. And if you're out of position, just making sure that you allow them to take a shot at the pot. If you feel like they're just kind of sticking you, right?
Yeah, if you get resistance from them on any streets, you should really slow it down and, you know, change gears. But the other 80% of the time when they miss, you're just going to punish them and pick up all the dead money.
Yeah, right. I like it.
Right. The thing is that they beat you when they make a big hand, and you beat them every other time.
That's a good way to put it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to capitalize on that, right? Exploit
and if you are a loose passive player and that's the way you like to play, you know, it's okay, but you have to implement some bluffs into your game. You know, I play in games sometimes, and it's fun to just be a loose passive player and play. But I have a lot of bluffs, and there's a lot of little kind of specific spots where I know, well, I can just take up this little pot right here.
Sure.
You know, so you win a couple little pots, and now I can play loose for a couple more pots.
You know what's funny? This is the style of play that I have a very difficult time with. I can't play loose passively. Like, to try to go through and play like this is really hard.
Yeah, you don't limp a lot. You almost always come in for a raise.
Yeah, because I'm sort of the school where I believe that if I should be calling, if I can be calling, I should be raising.
And yeah, so I think every style is game specific, so I like to mix it up.
I think there's some merits to limping in certain spots because you keep stacks deep, and some hands play better in deep stack spots. So you know, if somebody has like 60 or 80 big blinds and you have a hand like a suited connector, it's almost better to just limp that hand and keep stacks deep versus raise, and now you're playing like a low SPR spot with a hand that plays better in a high SPR spot.
Yes, I agree with that. All right, so we got a couple hands that we're going to pull apart. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, I know Dustin's got a few hands from the stream. I'm hoping you found a really good one from the 25-50 game. I feel like there's probably not a lot of loose passive play in that particular game.
But there's a lot of loose play. A lot of very loose, just not very passive.
That's exactly right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we'll talk more about poker. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
The Best Bet Poker Show on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss and Dustin the Great. We are here live at Best Bet Jacksonville, 201 Monument Road. The 1010XL main event is underway. We are in level number two right now. There are 180 plus players registered. There's still a line at the cage. Registration is open until about 8:10, so there's plenty of time for you to get down here and come and play. Just $110 will get you into that tournament, and there are five wonderful bounties. Knock any of those five bounties out, you get $110 back on the spot. So we got Donna Murphy in the house, Jeff Prosser, Matt Hayes, Denny Thompson, and yours truly. So come down, show your support. Show us what type of poker you play. What kind of That's poker right. player are you? Are you a loose passive player, as we've been discussing?
Show us your acronym.
Show us your
show
acronym.
Show us your acronym. Just let your acronym hang out in the poker room, please. All right, so as we've been talking about loose passive players and what that type of, what that particular style of play looks like, I know Dustin was working very hard back in the live stream room and found a few hands that we could talk about that very blatantly displays what a loose passive player might look like in the table. So are you a loose passive player? Do you want to be a loose passive player? How could you fix it? All right, Dustin, fire away.
So, yeah, there's one hand that I found that was pretty cut and clear definition of a loose passive player. It was from a 2-2 no limit hold'em deep stack cash game. The hand starts with a couple of limpers.
Okay.
And then player picks up Jack 10 suited in late position, and he makes it something like 12. He makes it like 12 or 15, something like 6 or 7X.
Okay.
And then most of the limpers call. Right, so they go like four ways to the flop.
Okay.
The player with Jack 10, the flop comes like King, Queen, 3, Rainbow. So the Jack 10 suited flops an open ender. One of the limpers limps with a hand like pocket sixes, right?
Okay.
So the sixes check, and the guy in position with Jack 10 in the open ender barrels the flop like he's supposed to. And then the guy with the sixes calls.
Okay.
Everyone else folds. So they go heads up to the turn. And the turn comes another total brick card, like an 8, an offsuit 8, no flush draws. The guy with the 6s checks, and the Jack 10 open ender barrels the turn.
Okay, I like it.
Guy with the 6s calls.
Okay.
So we get to the river, and everything bricks out. Jack 10 doesn't even make a pair. He's got Jack high. He missed all of his outs. I think the river was like a deuce. So the board is like 2-3-8 King Queen. Jack 10 misses everything, can't make a pair. The sixes check. The jacks barrel the river again, this time for a big size, and the sixes just call.
Did he overbet the river?
No, nothing fancy. He was somewhere between like half pot and two thirds the whole way.
All right.
And so he barrels the river, and the sixes just call. And the guy with Jack 10 loses his mind. He says, "How do you call three streets there with pocket sixes?" And the guy, the loose passive player, just kind of says, "I mean, I had a pair."
Yeah, I had a pair.
What do you want to do? I had a pair.
What do you got?
I had a pocket pair.
I had third pair on the flop.
I thought the Jack 10 player was going to flip the table. He said, to be fair, he's right. He has all the kings, all the queens, all the tens, all the overpairs. He has all of the hands in his range. But yes. A loose passive player with two sixes can't think like that. And the guy with two sixes just looks him up on the river and says, LOL, I has pair. And the guy with Jack 10... I thought he was going to light the cards on fire.
Right. You almost have to put, if you're the guy with Jack 10 in that spot, you have to think he must have another Jack 10.
You have to find a check somewhere.
Right. But you have to just,
it's kind of
sometimes you have to give up. But, you know, if you give up there on the river with the Jack 10, you're going to think, man, he would have folded for one more bet. But he wouldn't have.
He wouldn't.
No. Here's what I'll tell you this much. I don't hate the way that the guy played the hand. I will tell you this, though. I don't love that he bet all three streets. And finding a check somewhere, I feel like the only place you can find a check with that hand is the flop. And one of two things can happen. Either was he in position? Was there anybody behind him?
He was. No, he was. He was in position.
So I think checking back on the flop would have been a better option for a multitude of reasons. He can make up that play by raising on the turn, which makes his hand look a bit different. It disguises it a little bit more. Just firing the flop, firing the turn, and firing the river, the guy with the sixes might be like, I don't really think that you have like ace-king or king-queen, because you probably would have checked the flop.
Or ace-queen.
Yeah, but I feel like he might kind of be like, you know, maybe he's raising with something else, like ace-jack, right?
Sure.
Because that could be a hand in his range. So I think checking the flop and then implementing some sort of a FPS, a fancy play syndrome on the turn by raising with your draw, might have been a little bit more successful. Maybe not. Maybe the guy would have looked it up the same way. But I do feel like it's it's tough. It's tough to play that hand like that and take it all the way.
You just have to decide.
With a loose,
you know,
passive player, yeah.
And maybe in this case you make the decision. I personally am never checking that flop, no matter what my two cards are. If I raise and it comes king, queen, tray, I'm betting.
Yeah, you have a lot of range.
99% of the time.
Yeah, you have all the hands.
Yeah. I just don't like checking the turn. I feel like you can't check the turn. Now your hand's wide open.
Yeah, bet, check, bet is a weird line.
Yeah.
It's a weird one.
I kind of think you have to go bet, bet, check, or bet, bet, bet in that spot.
I feel like...
On the river, you have jack high. You have to turn your hand into a bluff or, it turns into dust.
It is weird because bet, check, bet looks like you have what you have.
Right.
Yeah.
A missed hand. Now you have a hand that can't... It's a bluff.
Yeah.
So you can bet, check, check, just lock it down, whatever. You're going to call me, I'll just check. He's never betting with the sixes. You don't lose any more money.
Sure. Unfortunately, this type of player is never folding with the sixes either. So it doesn't matter how many times you bet.
No.
It kind of goes back to what we said. When they do take a stance or an aggressive action, you just you got to slow it down. You got to change gears.
Yeah. And even the checking back on the river, like saying, well, if I don't put in a bet, if you know the guy is going to call 100% of the time, there's no reason to put any chips on the pot.
Right. It's okay to give up on some rivers sometimes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to give up.
Yeah. Even if you have air. So combating against that, as we've been talking about, find a check. Make sure that you remember when you're playing against a loose passive player, they don't like to fold.
They don't.
They do not want to fold. They will call you down with small pairs. They will call you down with middle pair. They will call you down with ridiculous draws that never seem to get there and make no sense. So I feel like you have to find ways to check, places to be able to check, or you definitely need to control the size of the pot for sure so that you don't overinflate, overbloat the pot, so you're committing entirely too much of your stack.
Right, but you do want to go for some value with some big one-pair hands or some, rough two-pair hands where you think they are going to call with anything, maybe some things that are beating you, but you still want to bet a little bit because they will call.
Yeah, if you can make a one pair plus hand against these guys, like you can just take them to value town and get all of the chips. So there's that on the plus side. Mm. So they will call you down super light, get really sticky, and it can be very annoying. But also on the flip side, like I said, if you can make a
they're
one pair,
they're gonna pay you off.
Yeah, if you can make a one pair plus hand and cooler them in a spot where they have the same pair and you have two pair or something like that, you're gonna get all the chips every time.
Yeah, I like it. Did you find another one?
I actually played one recently in a 2-5 game against a similar opponent, and he got all my chips.
But he got all your chips.
He got all my chips. The hand
sounds like the loose passive play is really paying off here.
Man,
so
the loose passive play got about 100 big blinds out of me about 2 weeks ago. But
we might need to find a new job, you guys.
Yeah. The hand started in a 2-5 game. Under the gun player raises to 25. We call in middle position with pocket nines, and the player behind us in the cutoff calls. And I think one of the blinds calls. So we go like four ways, 100 in the middle, and we flop middle set. The flop comes king, tray, nine, two spades, two-tone, king, tray, nine.
Juicy.
Yeah, we flop middle set. So it goes check, check. We bet 85. And the guy behind us makes it 350. We both started with $500 stacks. So there's 100 in the middle. We bet 85 with middle set, and he makes it 350 to go.
Well, your decision now is pretty easy.
I mean,
he's never folding.
Stuff it or dump it.
Just stuff it.
We can never fold.
We're only beating
one hand. Like, he just never does that with, like, he can't have any combo. He can't have, like, an open-ender combo. He can't have, like, an open-ended combo draw, like queen jack or jack 10. None of those hands get there. He's never doing it with, like, the naked ace high flush draw. So we beat pocket threes, and we lose to pocket kings.
Right, you just got to hope it's threes.
So we get it in. He's got pocket kings.
Wow.
Very weird. In a single raise pot, in position, flats with the kings, and gets all the chips.
He didn't even raise once you raised. He limped with kings, you raised, and then he just limped again.
I called raise, and he called behind me.
Yeah, it went 25 under the gun. Dustin called out of middle position.
Yeah.
And this guy called in position.
With kings.
With two kings. 25.
Wow, that's strong. I can't believe you didn't put any more chips in the pot.
He got all the chips. It didn't matter.
But because of that, you can never fold on the flop because you have to say, well, I mean, maybe he's got a king nine. It seems a little odd because you have all the nines are gone now.
Yeah.
Or pocket threes, right? And
if we were like massively, massively deep, you know, if we were 1,000 big blinds deep, you could make an argument for not getting all your chips in the middle, I think, in that spot, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But we were 100 big blinds deep, and it's fine. I'm okay with the play. But he was a loose passive player, and he just called in position with two kings. He was an older guy. Called in position with two kings, flop top set, and then made it 350 over when I made it 85. So we just got – and he left himself $150 back, which was even stranger.
Yeah.
I was like, what do you think we're going to do with that 150? Like just check, 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 turn, check river?
Which is funny because what he's supposed to do on that flop after he just called pre-flop is just call.
Right, yeah, right. Call. That's why the kings almost didn't make sense.
Right.
When he blasts it to 350, I was like, maybe he has threes and he's worried about the spade draw.
Yeah. Right.
The kings, I think, would just call there.
Yeah.
I would just call there with
you
kings.
Think. Wrong. So what did we learn?
We learned exactly everything that we talked about in today's broadcast, that when they aggress, they have it.
When they aggress, they have it. And when they have it, what do?
We got to light our cards on fire. Scott Alford says he could have Jack 10 and Queen 10 for gutters and straight draws.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Not with that raise. I just didn't.
No, I don't think so either.
If the board had come a little more coordinated, like King Jack of Spades, like King Jack 9 with the King Jack of Spades, you could give him like Queen 10 of Spades.
Agreed.
And then he has like a massive, massive combo draw, and it makes you can make an argument. But when it came disconnected, like King 9 Trey, it's hard to put him on.
Now,
Jack of Spades or Jack 10 of Spades.
I agree.
What type of player did you have this person sort of tagged as before this hand came?
Just kind of like old man coffee, came to the poker room, comes retired, comes on his days.
Right. That guy is
passive.
That guy is never making it 350 with a draw.
Agreed.
He's going to call with a draw 100% of the time.
I mean, so I was like, maybe you can have ace tray of spades in this spot, but I was like, that's
still
never,
he's calling. Right, that player that you described is going to call that flop with the draw hand,
and maybe even with pocket trays. He might just call with pocket trays in that spot.
Right,
kings might be the only hand that he raises.
It might just happen.
So, like you said, what's the lesson? Is they will raise when they have a big hand.
When they have a big
hand,
that's
the way they play. They limp, play passive, try to make a big hand.
So remember, they don't have those bluffs, right? So if they don't have bluffs in their range, then making that type of a bet, you're just going to have to be like, middle set.
Not that I could ever fold the nines in that spot, but
dump it. Yeah.
For 100 big blinds, I'm totally fine getting it in with middle set there. Like I said, if we were massively deep, if somehow we got to 1,000 big blinds deep or something like that, then I think you could probably
draw into a one outer there.
Yeah, the mistakes start to compound in that spot when you're deeper. So I think you could probably make an argument for. It would be a bad argument, but you can make an argument for folding middle set in that spot.
Right.
But
it'd be tough.
100 big lines, I'm fine getting it in there.
I agree. All right, as we're talking about poker, we are here at Best Bet Jacksonville. The 1010XL main event is underway. There are over 218 players?
212
like that?
Players. The line is subsided.
There's just still a line,
Still a line, but it's manageable now.
There's still a line, still time to play. Registration is open until 8:10, so head on over to Best Bet Jacksonville, 201 Monument Road, 5 bounties in tonight's game. Knock any of those 5 out. You get $110 back on the spot. So come down, hang out with us, play a little poker. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we will talk all things promotions and put a wrap on the show. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDeal here with Jesse the Boss and Dustin the Great. We are live over here at Best Bet Jacksonville, 201 Monument Road. The 1010XL main event is underway. 223 players registered. There is still a bit of a line at the cage. Registration is open until about 10 minutes after 8. It's $110 to get into this tournament with 5 bounties. Knock any of those 5 bounties out, and you get $110 back on the spot. Tournament play is all the buzz right now. So it's definitely a great spot to be, Best Bet Jacksonville or Orange Park. In fact, Orange Park this weekend at noon, there is the Greater Orange Park Open. It is a single-day tournament, $400 to get in, 30-minute levels. You'll start with 15,000 in chips. There is a satellite if you'd like to get in for a little bit less. It's an $80 satellite on Friday at 2 o'clock p.m. Remember, that is in Orange Park.
So lots of tournament stuff going on. Tournament tonight, tournament on Saturday. There's also a wonderful event happening next Thursday. I am hosting a charity event for the Williams YMCA. And it'll be here at Best Bet Jacksonville. It's $125 to get into that tournament. You can register the night of, or you can register now by texting STEM Kids to 41444. And we'd love to see you. So there's lots and lots of prizes. There's over $3,000 in prize packages. We have poker training packages that are good for 1 year through multiple sites. So
yeah. Jonathan Little's Poker Coaching, Bart Hansen's Crush Live Poker, and Steve Bly and the guys at Advanced Poker Training. Awesome. All three of those are awesome platforms.
There's also some really great bounties. I think in totality we probably have about 8 bounties. Each person has something really fun attached to them, whether that's tournament books, whether it's bottles of wine, whether it's dance lessons. There's all sorts of fun things. So it's going to be a really great time. You can come down, have some fun, hang out, network, and raise some money for a great cause. So again, you can text STEM Kids to 41444, or you can just register the day of. That is next Thursday. The tournament will be at 6:00 p.m. So hopefully we will see you here for that. Lots of stuff going on at both Best Bet properties. There are high hands going on daily, whether you're in Orange Park or in Jacksonville. I know they have $500 high hands here in Jacksonville throughout the course of the evening tonight, $400 high hands tomorrow, and then throughout the rest of the weekend. We got the Trifecta Series that's coming
that's
up,
right.
Speaking
Trifecta
of tournaments,
series.
Which is a lot of fun. So on the 30th, there's a $1,000 buy-in. That's a Friday single-day event. On the first, there's a $2,000 buy-in. It's a Saturday. It is a two-day tournament. And then on the second, there's a $500 tournament that is a single-day event also. And remember, we do have the, speaking of trifecta, we have the Triple Crown coming up. The Kentucky Derby will be May 1st.
That's right.
So you can watch that at either property. There is plenty of simulcast racing, even though the dogs are no longer racing live. You can still see races from around the world through simulcast at either property. Boston, is there anything else you want to throw into there that's super interesting and fascinating happening here at either Best Bet location?
I think you hit it. I think you got most of the super awesome, fascinating things that are happening. As with everything, check the website, bestbetjacks.com, for all the information, high hands, tournaments. And come on down here. We got 234 players and counting. We're going to reach over 300.
Yep. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us tonight. But don't go anywhere. End of the night with Rick Blue is coming up next. For Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, I'm Allie McDeal saying, until next time, we hope to see you at the final table.
Like they do in Texas, please. Fold them, let them hit me, raise it, baby, stay with me.
I love it.
Look at me.